Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. The new book, Government 2.0, features some common sense analysis of both technological advances as well as people's changing attitudes towards the role of government. How those technological advances, along with individual empowerment and the internet, will revolutionize the world. Also, the roles of taxation and banking. The author, Joseph Gorski, is optimistic about the future that could be beyond our wildest expectations and imaginations. Joseph brings a diverse and thoughtful background to his writing. It started with a deep spiritual journey that continues to this day. He graduated with a business administration degree from Rutgers Newark College of Arts and Sciences. Joseph Gorski, author of Government 2.0, our guest on This Week in America. Joe, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick. Glad to be here.
This is really a thought-provoking book. It's really well done. It's called Government 2.0. And I mentioned in the beginning that you had this spiritual awakening. Just to take a couple of seconds, talk about that experience and how you got to the point to look in this very analytical way at the government, our role with the government, what we can do as individuals, and how the book came about.
Okay, well, like many people, I came out of mainstream religious background, and then I started doing my own research, reading the Bible and so forth, and I was also, at the same time, reading and watching programs about economics, learning about economics, and I was troubled by a lot of things we see in the world today, which many people are, and so I gradually had a journey of trying to have more empathy for people, seeing the interconnectedness of people with, our actions are not done in a vacuum. When we do something, it affects other people. And I wanted to have a more just form of government, a more just form of economics. So the type of spiritual awakening I'm talking about is not unique to me. It's, I think many thousands of people are going through this right now in the country. They're not part of a mainstream religion. It has nothing to do with that. It's just sort of like looking at inwardly and looking outwardly at the world and how it could be a better place and what difference can we make.
In the book Government 2.0, you talk a lot about the ruling class. And this is interesting because we perceive the ruling class as the wealthy people, the 1%, that type of thing. And you talk about exactly who they are. Explain the ruling class, because I think a lot of times we really don't have them defined properly.
Yes. Going back about 4 or 5 years, we heard a lot about the 1%. And that really isn't the ruling class. That would be people that are maybe making a good income, but they're not ruling. They don't have any power necessarily. They're people with real power. Are at the top of the food chain would be like the bankers. And when I say bankers, I don't mean your common banker down the street. I mean, the CEO of the banks. People don't realize that the banks are actually privately owned and not controlled that extensively by the government. I mean, there are some regulations on banking, but like the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve Bank, they're actually privately owned institutions, and most people are shocked to learn that the government is not really over them, even though they have to play by a few rules that the government sets out. Those would be the super elite, and then obviously the mega rich people who have many billions of dollars. Sometimes they get together in private clubs and talk about goals they have for the world. So when I say the ruling class or the elite, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just somebody who has a nice income.
Well, and it's interesting because, as you point out, they really are in a position, the ruling class, where they can enact policies that limit, in some cases, block competition and limit innovation. So even though we may think we don't have anything in common with the ruling class, there is a connection there, isn't there?
Sure there is. Yeah, we're all interconnected. If you look at the way the world has been really for thousands of years, there's always been some type of a ruling class, and then there's been below them, and the ruling class set things up for their own benefit. And sometimes it works out well for the people, and sometimes it doesn't. But like you said, they put limits on access to markets. Once you become a big entity, like a huge corporation, the government will tend to favor you, the banks will tend to favor you and help you out, whereas the little guy is really on his own, and they make it difficult for the little guy to enter into the system. It does happen occasionally, we've seen people like Steve Jobs who come from nowhere, or Bill Gates who come from nowhere, and all of a sudden they become great innovators and billionaires, but generally it's very difficult for the common man.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest in the program is Joseph Gorski, G-O-R-S-K-I. The new book is called Government 2.0. The book is available all across the country. You can go to bookventure.com/bookstore to get information. You'll find it as well at all the usual places for books. And you can link on directly to the information for Joe's book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You talk a lot about money in the book, and you talk about alternate forms, multiple forms of money. Talk a little bit about that and where you think we're going with the whole monetary foundation of this country.
Well, yes. Right now we live in a world where, like I said, the private central banks, they can basically create money out of thin air, and they finance the wars, they finance the governments, and they collect interest on that. So they have a huge cash flow coming in, but we don't really have that much control over our money. You put your money in the bank, and then you don't really totally own it. You know, if there's a run on the bank, you can possibly lose your money, even with the insurance. They might have limits on how much you can take out each day. If you take out too much, they're going to ask you questions. So the new forms of money I'm talking about is something like quite a few of us have heard of Bitcoin, and there's quite a lot of other types of electronic money that's been invented. And all you need really is the internet or a telephone these days, a smartphone, and you could be making financial transactions from anywhere in the world, and you could be the poorest person in the world. You always have some ability to move money around, and you would own your own money. It wouldn't be like the government or the big banks controlling your money and saying what you can do with it.
You know, as you say that, you're thinking, boy, I can't imagine that happening. And then you mention real life examples that are there now, like bitcoins, because that's, if you've got the internet, you've got access to that currency. Talk about technology, and if you think that's really advancing, maybe some major changes we're going to see over the course of the next couple of decades.
Well, yeah, there's so many medical breakthroughs that will be coming our way. Right now we live in a very, very expensive, especially in the United States, a very expensive medical system, and it really is driving up our insurance rates, as we all know.
Yes.
And the government is trying to tinker around with it, and maybe we get this plan or that plan, but they really can't address the cost very well. What's going to really be a breakthrough for the cost is, can you imagine if there's a cure for cancer that's cheap and available, how your insurance costs would drop dramatically? And that would be the real breakthrough. And from what I've understand and what I've read and been seeing, those type of breakthroughs are very close.
With us on This Week in America, Joseph Gorski, author of the book Government 2.0. One of the areas that you talk about is the media manipulation, and you talk about the role that pharmaceuticals has in that. And you just touched on something. I'm sure there are some people who, from a business standpoint, aren't real excited about rushing through cures to a lot of these diseases, because that's big money for a lot of people.
Well, sure. A lot of cancer treatments nowadays can run into several hundreds of thousands of dollars or even into the millions for some people. And, we see the huge hospitals, the well-paid staff, and a lot of that wouldn't be necessary. But yet the common man in the common business, who are paying these exorbitant insurance costs would see such tremendous savings and even a better quality of life, of course, because you don't have to go through the chemotherapy and all these expensive treatments, which in and of themselves can be quite harmful. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting place we're in right now. I think we're at a tipping point with all this.
We're talking a lot about taxation, and you've got your thoughts on taxation in the book Government 2.0. Talk about that, because you really feel in most cases the taxation is rigged against labor and in many cases a lot of the businesses.
Yes. Well, think about it right now. If you want to start a sole proprietorship, you have to pay Social Security tax on every dollar. Right now, if you work for somebody, they pay half the Social Security tax and you pay half, which comes out to roughly, 7.5%. But if you own your own business, they give you a small deduction. So I think it comes out to about 13% of your profits on every dollar of profit. You have to pay what they call self-employment tax or Social Security tax. And you wonder why a lot of people are trying to do cash businesses and cheat on their numbers, because that's a large tax to pay on every single dollar of profit. I know they give you a lot of generous deductions, but still, that's a huge barrier for business. If they could help with that, get that tax lowered or eliminated or changed, that would be help people to go into their own business. And then, not to mention your exorbitant insurance cost, because you don't have an employer splitting the cost with you. Usually the employer would pay the majority of your insurance costs. Now you have to pay out of pocket many, many hundreds of dollars per month on insurance. And also, the income tax system is a tax on your labor. Instead of letting you keep the money and then decide how you want to spend it, and then maybe put the taxes at the point of when you buy something, they're taking a big chunk of your check away from you. You never even see it. So that's how it's against labor. A business, many of the super wealthy, they're putting their money in tax shelters, they're buying real estate, it appreciates in value, they turn it over, buy something bigger, it appreciates in value, and they avoid a lot of the taxes that we have to pay.
The book is called Government 2.0. Joseph Gorski, G-O-R-S-K-I, is the author. The book's available all around the country. You can find it at bookventure.com/bookstore. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to get information on Joe's book. You talk, and it's interesting, we are a divided nation, probably more so than I can remember in my lifetime, except in our distrust of our political leaders and ruling class. Does that give you hope? We're so divided in many areas, but in this specific area that may do us good as we're trying to make some changes in the structure of the government and to see something positive come out of that.
Well, yeah, I think at the grassroots level, people are really starting to see the interconnectedness of people and how our actions affect each other. And see, the media and the government, they like to play on our fears and try to divide us and keep us that way. And they've been quite successful at that. But at the common level, we can see that really, in reality, you and your neighbors, we all have probably 80 or 90% of the same ambitions and goals in life. We have the same needs, the same wants, and we should just focus on what we have in common and not the fringe stuff that's dividing us. Right now, we tend to have like an all-or-nothing attitude about a lot of stuff, and it's just very destructive. We don't need to demonize people and think of certain politicians as a savior or as a devil or something. The politicians are not your answer. Being more interconnected with the people around you and the people around the world, that's what I see is starting to happen with the internet.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We had talked about alternate forms of money a few minutes ago, and you talk in the book about other nations looking for ways to bypass the U.S. dollar. Talk about how we fit in with the world, and if the world in general is going through what we're going through.
Yeah. Well, basically, the whole world right now, the central banks are controlling the money supply, and they're all trying to weaken the money supply. They're printing more money to help finance the deficits of the governments, and they've been getting away with this for a long time now, but it's starting to get saturated with the money, and it's not really getting down to the people, and we've been seeing a great concentration of wealth going on in the last decade or so away from the people, so that's been a failure on their part.
Joseph Gorski, our guest in the program, Government 2.0 is the book. A couple final chapters are interesting, and we'll close with that, a few minutes left in the program. You talk about the growing awakening by the people. Talk about that and why you feel optimistic that we are sort of now more alert than ever before, aware of the problems out there, and willing to take these on and to do something in a positive way.
Well, yeah. As I said before, that we're realizing more and more that we're interconnected as a people. One by one, people are saying, making alternative choices in the foods they want to eat, the car they want to drive, the home they want to live in. And this is all making an impact. It used to be people would just feel kind of isolated, but now they're connecting on social media and they're talking about things. You could talk to somebody halfway around the world. At the same time, you could talk to your neighbor. And I think we're starting to realize that the guy in, let's say, Russia, he's not your enemy. He's just a guy like you. We're all the same. And we all have common interests. Really, these battles we hear about is among governments. And I like to think of governments as like a big corporation on steroids, because they have the power. They have big armies. They have the power to kill. They have the power to deceive and coerce you. And that's illegal for you and me on our level. And it's even illegal for most businesses to try to do that. But they can do that, and then they stir up animosity. It's always been that way with wars and conflicts between nations. We're all the same human race. And I think people are starting to realize that.
You talk at the end of the book about beginning of a new era in government. In the minute or so we have left in the program, talk about that, because you make the case that we're headed in that direction. Do you see us moving again over the next course of a couple of decades where we may see something totally, totally different in our form of government?
Well, I do. I don't think our government's going to reform itself, or any government, but it's going to get reformed from the outside.
Yes.
As people change their lifestyle and do different things, it's going to change. The government's going to react to it and say, "Well, how do we keep the people happy with us? How do we stay in power?" So they're going to have to react. Like, I know there's been a tremendous movement in recent years for legalization of marijuana, and for decades there was a hard line on that subject. But now they're seeing that the people are voting for it, and so they're having to change.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I'm thinking, as you're talking there, the power you've brought up several times, the internet and the new technology. We can have someone in the ruling class tell us one thing and then find out within a couple of hours later by going on the internet, reliable sources that are coming up with the conflicting information. So it's out there. We really can be better informed and keep track of what they're telling us.
Yeah, and keep in mind who's sponsoring your mainstream news. If you watch most of the TV commercials, they're sponsored by the pharmaceuticals. So they're going to want favorable news that might at least not subvert what they're trying to tell you.
Yes.
So if you could look on the internet, even though there's going to be some wrong information on there, you could at least fact check things. You can look into alternative views on what's going on, and they're not just getting fed the government line on what's going on in the world. Where you can look into what other people are finding out there.
It's an important book, a fascinating book, an excellent read. It's Government 2.0. Our guest on the program is the author, Joseph Gorski. That's Gorski. Book available all the places you usually find books. You can look it up at bookventure.com/bookstore, for example. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Joe Gorski, the author, our guest on the program. Joe, I loved having a chance to read the book and having the opportunity to discuss it with you. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
The book is called Government 2.0, the author Joseph Gorski. The book's available all across the country and, of course, information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.